All right, Proverbs chapter 24, verse 3 is a very important three parts for every family. Okay, for every family. Number one, the Bible says through wisdom is in house builded. Okay, wisdom in Hebrew, in the Hebrew literature, in Hebrew wisdom, when the Jewish people actually wrote this wisdom, it simply refers to God's wisdom. Okay, through wisdom is a house built. A house is built, today HDB are built generally based on a blueprint. They need a blueprint, and then later on they will do the necessary in order to get the building up. All the construction worker need to do is to follow the blueprint, okay, and whatever materials is needed, whatever format is needed, they will just have to follow tightly the measurements, okay? So that is actually wisdom. Through wisdom is a house built. The construction worker may not need to understand everything about engineering, but he does need to understand that he needs to follow the blueprint. Okay, I'm sure there are a lot more things about engineering and building engineering that I don't know, but you know, it's important for the person to build that builds a house to know exactly what he needs to build. That's wisdom. True wisdom is a house builded. By understanding, it is established. Okay? True wisdom has the idea of obedience to the blueprint. Understanding later on is understanding why you build it in a certain way. How many of you have today seen some weird buildings? Nowadays, I think Singapore is truly trying to go. The buildings are, designed in a strange ways. I know the first strange one I saw was in Potong Pasir, whereby, I don't know about you, but we're very used to like high-rise building, just rectangular one. Then in Potong Pasir, they have some that is like curved up one. I'm not straight, like a trapezium type of houses. So I don't know why they do it that way. Is it for design or maybe it's just someone can enlighten us? I don't know. Okay. Yes. Opposite St. Andrews. Okay. So nowadays you have what the sky parks lah, don't know what lah, everywhere. Very very nice. Actually, some of them are very nice. Some of them you take a little bit getting used to, but you know what they're trying to. But you know what, when they did that way in Singapore, one thing I understand about Singapore, they always think through their designs. Okay. So which tells us that sometimes we may obey God, we may not understand, but later on, as we understand why it has to be done that way, because we've obeyed initially, the understanding strengthens whatever that we have obeyed. Does that make sense? That's why sometimes as a young Christian, there are many things we don't understand. But if it's written in God's word, we can at least have the assurance. You know, have you ever been that in that place whereby, actually, I don't know, but just follow law. I don't know really, but just follow. Everyone do it, just follow. We do it in this world, but sometimes somehow in the Christian faith, we are a bit fearful. The idea is that if it's written in God's word, you can be assured that God knows what he's doing. But over time, God actually helps us to understand why. And then he actually strengthens our convictions about certain things. All right? For example, trusting God. You know, many people say, you know, I can trust God, you know, but I still have to work and make sure I really amass my wealth. But you know, sometimes it's really learning to trust God, focus on the important things, and let God take care of us. Okay? Okay, after the wisdom and understanding, and then by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Now, firstly is the obedience, then the understanding establishes the house, and by knowledge shall the chambers within be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. In this camp so far, we've talked about the framework. Then we talk about the foundation. Okay? If we have in our minds, be very sure that, God, I want to build a foundation strong, I make sure my structure is there. The next thing is to have the knowledge from God's word. What are the precious things that we'll actually put, that we can put into the house to make it livable, pleasant? All right? And today we're going to look at the furnishings. Okay? The furnishings. All right, so hopefully we can get a better sense. Let's look at SOS. What is SOS? Thank you, Asher. Asher was asking, what is SOS? Okay, Song of Solomon. It's in the Song of Solomon. Okay, Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon. Are there other names for this book? Song of Solomon, sometimes you see in some Bible, it's called the Song of Songs. In some books, they call the Canticles. Okay, they are all meaning the same thing. It's a Song of Solomon, all right? Okay, and we'll just read verse 15 and 16. Song of Solomon is a very interesting book. It's actually the marriage manual of the Bible. The marriage manual of the Bible. Okay, relationship between the husband and wife, that manual is there. And God goes through very details in many, many things. But we just look at one part. Okay, Proverbs 15, verse 15 and 16. Let's read there. We're going to be looking at the whole area of the different spices. Okay, wrong. It's not 15 and 16. It's 14 and 15. Okay? Ready? Let's start from verse 13 so that we can see how from the ready. 1, 2. Let's read the 13, 14, and 15. 1, 2, go. Thy plants are an orchard of pomegranates with pleasant fruits. Camphire with spikenard and saffron, calamus and cinnamon, with all trees of frankincense, myrrh and aloes, with all the chief spices. A fountain of gardens, a well of living waters, and streams from Lebanon. Okay, this is probably the first time some of us has read this before. Okay, but if you look at verse 11, Song of Solomon was actually expressing his love for his wife. Okay, thy lips, O my spouse, drop as a honeycomb, honey and milk are under thy tongue. The smell of thy garment is like the smell of Lebanon. Okay, so it's very, what we call romantic language that the husband is actually expressing to the wife. And the idea is that the home needs to be filled with spices that actually makes the whole home condition pleasant. Okay? And we want to look at 7 of those spices very quickly so that we can actually put them in our homes. Okay? All right, first one is camphire. How many of you have heard this before? You've probably heard of frankincense, right? And myrrh? Have you heard of frankincense and myrrh? Okay, the three wise men. See the three wise men? The wise men brought frankincense, myrrh. All right, have you heard of cinnamon? You use your cooking all the time, cinnamon. Campfire? Not campfire. Campfire? Okay, there's also, I think, have you heard of spikenard? It's interesting, if you study the different spices, the spikenard, remember there was a lady in the New Testament that brought an alabaster box of ointment, and ointment is spikenard, okay? I'll talk about it later. All right, let's deal with campfire first, okay? What are the 7 things that God wants us to put? What can we furnish our families so that it not only is a place we can live in, but it's a pleasant place for us to live in, all right? Campfire, interestingly, is from the henna plant. Henna, you know what's henna? H-E-N-N-A, not henna. Henna plant, H-E-N-N-A, okay? It's a golden colored. It gives us a sweet fragrance, and usually people use it, pound it as powder and mix it with water. So what do we usually use henna for in Singapore? Dye your hair. Okay, so one of the things, but it apparently also have a fragrant smell. Okay, usually they use it for 2 things. One is for dyeing of hair. Another one, interestingly, is for the tanning of the skin. Use it as a tanning lotion. Okay, the meaning, the word campfire actually comes from the root word, interestingly, means, sorry? Not from the hand. Interesting, there's a suffix. It's not the etymology, which is a root word. Okay, there's a suffix. Henna doesn't come from hand. Okay, not the hand. Okay, the word camphor comes from a root word that means to pardon. To pardon. To give a ransom for. Well, that's an interesting starting point. Okay. In Exodus chapter 13, verse 12, let's turn there. Exodus, second book of the Bible, chapter 30, verse 12. 30 or 32? Okay. Yes, 30. Okay, let me just read that. Okay, maybe just read together. Exodus 30, verse 12. Ready? 1, 2, begin. When thou takest the sum of the children of Israel after their number, then shall they give every man a ransom for his soul unto the Lord. When thou numberest them, that there be no plague among them, when thou numberest them. The word campfire is not here, but the root word for campfire is found in the word ransom. The word campfire also means to pardon, to atone for, to to ransom. Okay? Now, how do we apply this? The very first thing we need in the family is to ensure the salvation, I just put it here, of our family members. Okay? You know why? Because there's only primary two spiritual foundations in this world, that of the Lord and that of the God of this world. The very first thing in our families is to ensure the salvation of every one of the members. In the Old Testament, that includes the maid. Did you know that? The slaves, if you look at Abraham, he not only trained his own children, the people under him, even he had soldiers and he even had his house servants all trained by him. And he was responsible for the spiritual welfare, even for the helpers. Okay? So the very first thing we need to ensure is the salvation of the people under us. Because otherwise there will be two foundations, two rulers in that household with different belief systems. And you know what? In order for you to do one thing, it's very hard unless we're all of one mind. So the first thing, campfire, okay, we need the salvation. Let's look at spikenard. The spikenard comes from India. It's an ointment. Okay, it's an ointment and perfume. In order to preserve the fragrance of the spikenard, it's usually carried in an alabaster box. That makes sense because in the New Testament as well, remember the lady who came to anoint Jesus carried spikenard in an alabaster box, okay, to preserve its fragrance. Because this particular spice is imported from India, it's very costly. And generally, the Jewish girls keep the alabaster box of spikenard only for their wedding. It's so expensive. That was why Judas Iscariot was critical of this lady. He said, why don't this perfume, remember, be sold and the money be given to the poor? But Jesus said, this lady did something for her, and it was something of her own sacrifice, and she gave her all to the Lord. Okay, so spikenard has that idea there. Costly because from India. The meaning of spikenard is aromatic. Nice smell. Very nice smelling. Okay? In the New Testament, the spikenard actually have an additional word added to it. There's only two mentions of spikenard in the New Testament. And this spikenard has also not only... Okay, in the Old Testament, it has the idea of aroma. But in the New Testament, the two mentions of the word spikenard has the word aroma there and the word unadulterated, having the idea of genuineness. Okay? A marriage in a family needs to be unadulterated, genuine. The idea of faithfulness of the husband to the wife and the wife to the husband. Genuine faithfulness. In this age of self-centered seeking, sometimes in families there is that. On the outside we act in a certain way, on the inside we act in a certain way. God wants us to understand one of the spices, one of the furniture of our home is to be genuine. Genuine Christians. Genuine husband that loves the wife genuinely and wife respects husband genuinely as well. And for children, loyalty to your family. Loyalty to the family. That's very important. For the family to stick together, everyone needs to know this is the direction dad is having. We need to be loyal to that. Let's work together. And have a genuine heart about that. I know in some families, it can be trying. Because we all made out different personalities, different ways of thinking, different ways of doing things, and as a result, we kind of go into conflict. But God wants that to be there because God knows it's a very important thing. Now, as we go through this, we're going to put all these things in the boxes. If there's certain things that are already there, praise God for it. But if certain things that are lacking, pray that God help us work towards that. Our family life is a journey, like it or not. Okay? And God, remember, I like what Brother Henry talked about. If there are 5 haystacks and 4 haystacks, okay, put all to become 1 haystack. Okay, depending on how the haystack is being put, like the haystack like that, or everyone just push everything together. It depends on how you want the haystack to be. You know, 1 haystack actually contributes to the economy of the family. All right, unless everyone wants their own, you know, and you have a problem. But God wants us to be genuinely loyal and faithful to the family. Okay? And for the husband to be genuinely faithful to the wife and vice versa. That their hearts are towards one another, be able to communicate, loving one another. Yeah, there will be disagreements because we're all different. There will be. But you know, the challenge is not the disagreement. The challenge is how we overcome the disagreement. And many times the only way humanly that we can overcome is when God gives us His love, His patience, and His long-suffering for one another. That's why we need God, after we talked on the last point, okay? So, any questions up to here? Let's move on to saffron, okay? Saffron is also from India. It's a fragrance, okay? It actually blooms in autumn, and it's used primarily in the area of medicine and cosmetic. Medicine and cosmetic. Now, this is interesting because if we use the analogy of saffron, it's used in medicine and used in cosmetics, okay? Now, what is something, maybe in our experience, not our own, but maybe in families that we've seen, what is one thing that exists in family that oftentimes hurt the family the most? What is one thing that you can think of that divides the family and hurts the family the most? Anyone? Just throw up. False accusations, yes, false accusations, okay. Disagreements, okay. Now, how do you handle disagreements? Just generally. Huh?
Get together.
Okay. Agree to disagree. So which means that there is a way of dealing with the disagreement, right? Also, which means at the end of the day, yeah, disagreements may not be the main thing that decide. It's actually one of the things that happen, okay, right? But it may not divide the family. You can handle it, okay? So you need to talk about false accusations, okay? So how do we handle false accusations? Can it be resolved? Is it the key that will divide the family? Well, let's say if I falsely accuse you, okay? Of course, through what I did, it will probably divide us, right? But how you handle it may still bring us together. Sorry? Forgiveness. You know, one of the biggest key to heal a family is just letting things go. Would you agree? Because a lot of people hold things for a long time. So long that it's not funny. Because we know of one family that really the hatred is so embedded that just the children and the just refuse to see one another. It's all maybe because of, perhaps sometimes could be a small thing, sometimes could be a big thing. But whether big thing or small thing, one of the medicine in saffron to use that God wants us to have, the family must have, in fact, I would say must have, is forgiveness. Because forgiveness heals. Have you seen it happen before when someone who has been maybe apart for a long time but decided that I'm just going to let it go, it brings a person together again? You know, a classic example of forgiveness in the Bible is Joseph. Remember Joseph? Imagine betrayed by your own brothers, sold into slavery, away, lost about 20 over years with his family. Okay, imagine, all because of jealousy. But how did Joseph respond when Joseph actually thought, that's it, I'm finished already, I'm going to stay in Egypt forever, bye-bye to my family. And he got married there and decided to sometimes we want to do that, just get away, start our new life and let it go. For information, that's not God's plan. That's never God's plan. If you're God's child, God always have a plan. Because later on, 20 years later, Joseph say, I know these guys. They are my brothers. And they've come. And interesting, Joseph actually struggled. He actually struggled. But he made a decision in Genesis 45 and asked the brothers to come near to me. And before he could ask the brothers to come near to me, he actually had to willingly in his heart, just going to let it go. You have to. For a family to function in a healthy manner, number one, we need to understand there will be offenses. Because we are all humans. How many of you are perfect, have never offended people before? Put up your hand. Never. It could be the way you cook things, the way you arrange your... You forget to fold the laundry or whatever. You know, little things can become big things in family, right? Because why there are expectations of one another, like it or not, there are expectations. I would expect you to at least understand that I don't like my T-shirt to be folded this way. Small things like this. I know it's so important all the more that there's expectations that we need the principle of forgiveness, because otherwise it's going to be a hard. Yes. Yes. Amen. Use that also as a... But it's interesting, one of the reasons why Joseph actually forgave everyone was because God was working in Judah's heart. And remember, if you know, remember the story of Joseph, Judah was willing to take over the place of Benjamin should Benjamin not come back. And he told Joseph, look, please, my father is going to die. And he's going to be dying, going to the grave without, very sad. Let Benjamin go. I'll take his place. When Joseph saw that, Judas was a perpetrator of his selling of slavery many years ago. But when he saw the person that God is working on, repent, Joseph said, okay, God, if you're working, I'll let it go. Remember, when Joseph said let it go, he's let it go of 20 years of wasted time that he couldn't have with his family because of this Judas jealousy. Just let it go. But you know what? After that, his whole family was reconciled. Just because, by the way, the moment one person forgives, forgiveness always have to start with one person. The tendency for people to forgive is, if he comes right, then I will forgive. You know, we forgive in our heart. Jesus forgave us even before we even knew him. And he was willing to pay the price. And that's why reconciliation becomes so easy, because put it this way, if two person need to forgive and two person doesn't want to, it's never going to come to the middle. Someone must take the step. By God's grace, with God's strength, with God's love in our hearts, may God give us the strength to always take the first step and say, I'll let it go. Yes, it will cost us. It will cost us brokenheartedness. It may cost us a fortune, literally. It may cost us different things, but you know what? You'll win back the person. And I can tell you, relationships are the most important thing to God. That's why he sent Jesus. He wanted us back. Does that make sense? He wanted us back. That's why he gave his son. He said, I'll die for you first. I'll take the first step. Whether you come or not, it doesn't matter. I already in my heart, in my love, I'll forgive you. In the family, we need to operate like that. Children as well. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes parents may be unreasonable. But you know what? In your heart, still, God has given us parents. You know, the first thing in your camp booklet is, your family is given to you. It's God's gift to us. Remember, if you read the timetable, family is God's gift. God knows the best family to give us. Think about that. Why of all the families in this world, why this family, no matter how hard it is for us to accept with our eyes, we have to look at what God's plan is. Now, husband and wives, I've learned this many years ago. Before I was married, always carry in your heart this principle. The one you marry is God's best for you. And for children, the family you have is God's best. How you work through that is either God wants you to bless that family or God wants you to use that family to build you up. Okay? So forgiveness is a very important part. But it's interesting as well. Okay, I'll just follow. We're all different. We can get offended easily. Some people are very thick-skinned. You can throw stones at them. Sticks and stones may break my bones. I don't care. Whatever, it's not going to hurt me. Some people can just let it go. But even if people can let it go, please don't take advantage of that. Because everyone has their own human limits. And they can actually get angry as well. And that's why it's so important in families to also be considerate. Sometimes we live in families that good morning to each other also don't say one. But yeah, we say good morning to our boss now. It's just simple courtesy, right? So even simple things like, hi, good morning, how are you today? Did you sleep okay? Just simple things like this. We don't really do it in the family. Why? Because we think that, never mind, this one is only when you go church camp, you go church and you say one. Think about it, you practice in the family. Initially, it'll be awkward, but over time, you find that it becomes a pleasant saffron fragrance. It shows that I am concerned and considerate of you, that I would actually greet you in the morning. I respect you as a person. But forgiveness is important, first part. But you know what, the second part? Saffron is also used as cosmetic. What is cosmetics used for? Sorry? Beautify. What else? The lady will say beautify, the man will say camouflage. Wait. Okay. Like. There are different ways of saying it. Okay. Well, that's true. Well, taking it from a biblical perspective, okay, within the context of a family, definitely not the principle of deception, okay? But saffron can be used after you forgive that person as a covering for the person's weaknesses. The Bible teaches, let's turn to the verse in book of Proverbs chapter 10, verse 12. Okay, maybe people on this side, okay, Brother Zach's side, you turn to Proverbs 10, 12. People on Brother Tim's side, you turn to Proverbs 17, verse 9. And then you'll see what I mean. Okay, Proverbs 10, verse 12 on my right, Brother Zach's side, and Proverbs chapter 17, verse 9 on Brother Tim's side. Okay, if you're ready, Brother Zach and the team, Proverbs 10, verse 12, ready? 1, 2, go. Okay, Proverbs 17, verse 9, ready? 1, 2, go. Okay, let me just go through that. Hatred stirs up strife. Have you been in families where day in, day out, 2 years ago you do that, 1 year ago you do that, last week you do that, 2 minutes ago you did that? Hatred stirs up strife. God in this verse actually tells us the origin of people bringing up past things. Literally, there's hatred. That's what the Bible, only hatred will stir up strife. If I don't like this person, your glasses not nice, why orange color? And keep on, what are you going to say? Why you also, your hair so short. And because there is no respect for each other anymore. Do you understand what I'm saying? And we keep on poking. There's nothing. Why? Because the basis, God says, is hatred. I'm not choose. The word hatred, put it this way, in families, I don't believe we hate one another to the point. But sometimes, the word hatred has the idea is, I'm not choosing you. I'm not choosing you. And you are no longer important to me, and therefore I fuck you. The basis is hatred stirreth up strife. Literally stir up. And not only after I have you, I go to your wife and tell you about you, and go to Louis and tell you about you. I will stir up the strife. Have you seen family that do that? That's not God's will. But you know what? God gave us the alternative. But love covereth all sins. You know what it means? No matter what you've done to me, I respect his reputation so much that even though he did wrong to me, I won't say anything. The cover-up doesn't mean I condone it. The cover-up is motivated by love for that person's reputation. Ultimately, if he blew it himself, then at least I did my part to protect him. But hopefully, if I'm covering up for him, covering up, meaning I don't tell anyone the offenses, he will realize, hey, I need to rethink how I treat this person. That's why when Jesus was betrayed by Judas Iscariot, I've said it many times, Jesus still called Judas friend. Do you realize, Jesus never told on Judas? And even if he gave hints, the disciples were so blurred, they didn't understand what he was talking about. Do you realize that? As far as Judas' reputation among the disciples, no one knew he was the betrayer until later. Until when he blew it himself. Think about how the one that would betray Christ to the cross, Christ loved him so much that he actually covered his sin. He said, whatever you want to do, go and do it quickly. He didn't say, Judas, you're good for nothing. You are after I fed you three straight. You're going to betray me. He didn't say that. He says, why are you doing this? Or in the midst of the disciples, he just say, whatever you want to do, go and do it quickly. And the disciples, the Bible says, thought that Jesus told him, go and buy things. They had no idea. Because it was in the plan of God to teach us from his personal example that even though this person is going to betray me to death, I'm going to love him to death still. Love covereth up all sins. That is hard because humanly we always want to fight back. Do one to others before others do one to us, right? No, do unto others, not do one to them. You know, without the strength of God, we can't do that. We really have to beg God sometimes. God, you know, I don't want to hate this person, but you know, he's really irritating. That's why we need to go to the cross and pray. Proverbs 17, verse 9, which is the second verse. He that covereth a transgression seeketh love. Solomon says it very wisely. He says, if you cover someone, let's say if I offended Tim, and he doesn't talk about it to anyone, you know what he's doing? Protecting my reputation, and he's seeking friendship and love. Okay, that's what the Bible says. But he that repeateth a matter separated very friends. If you repeat something that is not edifying, you can actually destroy friendships very easily. That's what the Bible teaches. All we have to do is follow the Bible. It's hard, no doubt, but God actually is giving us Bible commandments to counteract human nature in order for us to still function in a strong and stable way. Does that make sense? It's very easy for a family to just, see, last time you did this to me, repeated the matter again and again and again and again. And one of the things I've learned, regardless of what you say or what you do, I'm not going to repeat what you've done. Just as far as I'm going, do you realize that's the same way Jesus actually treats us? Do you realize at the cross of, even today, right now, the Lord Jesus will never bring our sins up again. It's forgiven at the cross, never to be mentioned. As far as the east is from the west, you know, remember the verse, as far as the east is from the west, so has he removed our transgressions from us. You know what it means? The east will never meet the west. The east will never meet the west. Never. The east, the west. And that's the principle of forgiveness. Jesus says, as far as the east is from the west, so far have I removed the transgressions from you. In other words, I can look straight in the eye of someone who offended me and still say, brother. That's what it means to have forgiveness and covering up with the goal of seeking love. I'm sorry, my handwriting is terrible. Covering up another person's sin or offenses with the intention of seeking love and reconciliation. Okay? In the family is so important. I can tell you, you know, when you get back from camp, you're going to have offenses ready. You know why? Everyone is tired. But you still have to wash the laundry. You need to put things in the proper place. And the children are so tired, they are playing up. And they're not listening. And you are covered. No, we need that. A loving spirit. It's okay, come, let Mama help you, Papa. Even though oh, can't you just do it yourself? I'm so tired. But that's where the sacrifice of the family say, never mind, no matter how tired, I'll still do it. Okay? That's Ephron. Okay, let's move on quickly. We've got three more. The next one is Calamus. Okay, any questions though? Some practical principles is speak kindly about your spouse, okay? Never in a derogatory manner. And that goes the same with church members, you know, whoever, never speak of them in a derogatory manner. Always esteem the other better than yourself. Philippians chapter 2. All right, the next one is calamus. Calamus is rich in smell. Okay, the idea of calamus, interesting, is a reed. A reed is a stick, something that is straight. Okay, it is used, reeds are used for measuring rods, making measuring rods and measures. Okay, like a ruler. Okay, the meaning is erect, and interestingly, erect as in a straight ruler. Okay, the application for us in the family is the calamus, there must be a standard for our behavior. And we know that from the Bible as the rule, in our family, okay? This is another furniture you must have, the Bible as the rule in the family. The Bible needs to influence every decision, resolve every dispute, teach character, and so deal with our attitudes. For example, if a child has a bad attitude, okay? For example, he's dishonoring the dad or mom. For example, you can say, well, the Bible says, honor thy mom, thy father, thy mother. And the child needs to be brought to an understanding of that, so that the child knows the word of God is the rule. However, as parents, we also must follow the rule. So that means we teach our child to honor the parents, but then as husbands, we don't love our wives, the child can say, ah, the Bible says, you need to love your wife. Or ma, the Bible says, can you see that when we say, yeah, you're all right? If the Bible is the rule, that means God is the center. And God knows who each person, what each person needs to do. If everyone just fulfills those roles, we all have a integrated part in the family. Okay? The Bible needs to be our rule. Okay? Today, there are many people. One very sad story was in the church in Australia one time. And there were two unsafe. There's an unsafe couple. One of the ladies, actually, the lady actually got saved. Okay? But he was saved in the Potter's house. Have you heard of the Potter's house? Potter's house is a word faith movement, Pentecostal type of church. And she said she received a vision. The reason how I know is because the parents of this girl and this son-in-law, they were members of the Baptist church that I was in. And so she was sharing. This girl said God told her to divorce husband to marry someone in the church. So she said she received a vision. Someone spoke to her, or rather he said that God spoke to her, you divorce her husband to marry someone in the church. Now, is that from God? No! If you read 1 Corinthians, God is very clear. In fact, this son-in-law was a very nice man. From what I heard, he was a very nice man. But this girl was so damn, and this is what God said. But Paul says, if as a wife your husband is willing to dwell with you, stay with him, because he cares for you. Even as a non-believer, you can care for the wife. And some men are quite nice. All right, that doesn't mean you go and marry non-believers. Huh? But in that situation, there were non-believers before and they were married. But in this case, the wife got saved. But then she broke up the relationship, which God never intended to break up in the first place. 1 Corinthians teaches us that. She did not use the Bible. It broke up that family. You know, there was so much heartache in the grandparents. Of course, the son-in-law obviously didn't want to be a Christian after that. But God actually have his solutions that might win the son to him. But they didn't want to use the Bible as the rule. We need to be very careful. The Bible must be rule. Even children, the way we behave must be governed by God's rules. Obeying your parents, working hard, okay, doing your duties, etc. Okay? The next one is cinnamon. Any questions on the calamus? Next one is cinnamon. The cinnamon tree grows up to about 20 feet high. That's about what, 6 meters? 20 feet high is about 6 meters. Okay? The meaning of cinnamon has the idea of upright roles or uprightness. Okay, the idea of uprightness. In the family, we need to establish in ourselves and in our children habits of righteousness. What does that mean? Honesty, purity, thinking in the right way, speaking kindly, attendance at church meetings, because these are all things that God wants us to have. Habits of righteousness, reading your Bible, praying. Okay, when there's actually a disagreement, yeah, we can discuss and pray over it. Habits of righteousness. Because the Bible says, Matthew 6:33, what does it say? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Okay, habits of our daily practices, our daily attitudes, and our daily convictions must be strong. We'll talk about the fort of the family tomorrow. Okay, the fort family. And we'll be doing a bit of the habits of righteousness here. But the camel, God wants us to put in our family habits of righteousness. Right? The next one is frankincense. Frankincense is from India or Arabia. Apparently, it's a gum. It has a gum tree essence. Okay, and what happens is that after they have kind of put the gum together, they use it to. It uses it to burn, and therefore it comes with a fragrant white smoke. Okay, and we know that frankincense, all right, is used as incense, and it's a symbol of prayer. Okay, symbol of prayer, frankincense. Yeah, frankincense is often used also in the priest by the priest in the temple for, as the prayers goes up, they burn frankincense. Okay, frankincense is symbolic of Christ as the high priest when the wise men came to Jesus to give. Okay, the frankincense. So God wants our families to be prayerful, which is why we want us to practice family prayer. Some of us have never done it before, but as you get started, make it a habit. Set the time. Doesn't have to be long, 15 minutes every night, every day, or weekend you can have it longer or earlier time. Frankincense is an important thing. Men, God says men ought always to pray, not to faint. Luke 18, verse 1. Prayer. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Okay? And then in 1 Timothy 2 and verse 8 and 9, women also to pray. And then couples in let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. I want to show you a verse which is very interesting that God actually says with regards to husband and wives and prayer. Okay? 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 7, the Bible reads, likewise ye husbands, 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 7, likewise ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. Dwell with them means dwell with the wives according to knowledge. What does it mean, according to knowledge? Basically, there's this study called, this module called the module of wifeology. Wifeology. What's wifeology? Basically, this one, dwelling with your wife according to knowledge simply means that you need to understand your wife inside out. How she feels at certain parts of the day. What will she do in this part? You need to basically study your wife, husbands. And for us as guys who are not married, we need to have insight into, I'm not talking about you're going to read books on how does woman think, okay? That's what it is. So when you come to your own wife, basically what you can do right now is a little bit more sensitive, always serving others, putting others first. That will help you, all right? Once you're always serving others first, you take a practical aspect, understanding people, being considerate of other people. Husbands, though, God expects you to know your wife inside out, literally, from the heart, what she thinks, how she feels about certain things. When you buy a red color versus purple color, how come her face change? Or maybe for the birthday, you go to zicha versus going to a restaurant. When you go to the zicha, she's very happy. You go to the restaurant, you need to understand why. Okay? You buy this food, she's very happy. You buy that one, it's okay, lor. You need to understand why. That's what literally the Bible says. Husband, dwell with your wives according to knowledge. Understand your wife. Do you know that this is so important that the first year in the Mosaic time, when a man got married, the first year he's exempted from national service. And the goal is to cheer the wife. Basically, to live with the wife, understand the wife, do things with the wife. Just spend time and understand. Okay? So that, because it lays the foundation for the rest of your marriage life. Okay? Okay, let's move on to that. Though with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife. Husbands are to give honor to the wife. Basically to love them, honor them, as unto the weaker vessel. What's the meaning of a weaker vessel? What's the meaning? Maybe, yes. Sister Summer, what do you mean? What do you understand by the weaker vessel? A Okay, literally. What about Brian Henry? What do you understand by a weaker vessel? Need to? Need to be led, okay. Anyone else? Huh? The word weaker there, interestingly, there may be elements of the leadership, okay, but the word weaker vessel means treat her as invaluable china that if you're not careful, piang! In other words, treat the lady as fragile. You know what it tells us? Ladies, this should encourage you because it sees, it shows you the value God places on the lady. And God insists that the men treat ladies as valuable china. Okay? What? Why? That's a different context. Sean, please take note of. Everything must be done in the shade or aircon. What? Bubble wrap them and play. Okay. Okay. As unto the weaker vessel, but more than anything, now coming from the family perspective, as being heirs together of the grace of life. When the husband and wife put together, God actually intends for the husband and wife to inherit the blessings of this life, to work together, go through things together, to learn and grow together. Interestingly, last part, that your prayers be not hindered. Husband and wife, you're not right in one another. Your prayers will not be heard. That's what God says. So as husbands, we need to treat our wife in a way that, so that our prayers will not be hindered. Okay, the last one is myrrh. What myrrh is, what does myrrh mean? The word myrrh has the idea of bitter herbs and sufferings. What, I mean what? We need to put bitter herbs and sufferings in the family? Not quite. Every family will go through hard times. They will. God knew that. But God wants us to put in the furniture of patience in suffering. You know, whenever patience in suffering or patience in trials or patience in difficulties, you know, there's no guarantee that your husband will always keep a job. There's no guarantee that you'll always have your needs provided because some things may happen economically. Patience in suffering. I know my handwriting is terrible. Patience in suffering. Can I say that? Even if you're in a Christian, in the midst of non-Christian parents, the patience in the difficulties you face becomes a light to your family as well. But for the husband and wife, remember, I'll just say this as pastor, don't blame each other when troubles come. Because that is the worst thing you can do in times of trouble. Because what you do is you bounce off one another and you keep fighting one another. And you're not getting the problem solved. You know what you need to do? Even if the husband that made the biggest boo-boo of his life and affected you, okay, or the wife made a boo-boo and affected the husband, you know what we can do? God's attitude that we need to have says, it's all right, let's pray and see how we can get through this together. I can tell you, you put the greatest guilt trip on your husband or the greatest guilt trip on your wife by covering that sin. It's okay. Let's deal with it together. Does it make sense? Put it this way, everyone deserves a second chance, yes? Everyone deserves a second chance. Jesus gave us a second chance after salvation, otherwise we were on our way to hell. He gave us a second chance. But sometimes because it goes against what we want, what we feel, and say, but actually the person is more important than whatever that I can get from you. Think about that for a while. Okay, imagine. A parent may feel that I want to invest lots in this my 12-year-old girl and make sure she get a PhD, but then she comes from a mouth and a body bag. Which more important? Probably, I wish I spent less time in my work and more time in my daughter or something like that. Which is what Adam Mitchell regretted, right? Okay. Now remember, the movie is just to give us thoughts so that we can reflect. And then to make biblical decisions as we go, all right? Don't base your faith on the movie. Base your faith on God's word. But the movie is actually the depiction so that we can actually have some insights which sometimes we can't have unless we see that visually, okay? So, 7 things. We need to ensure salvation of our loved ones. We need to have genuine faithfulness to one another and children, and I encourage you to have loyalty even to your own families. I can tell you dad and mom need your too, as much as you need them. Because dad and mom need to see that they're walking God's way, and when you obey them, you are having mom, dad, we love you, we're going to follow you. Of course, that doesn't mean you don't have your own interests and all that, but then dad and mom need to also be in communication so that we can actually move together. Genuine faithfulness. Second, the next one is forgiveness and covering up each other's sin for the purpose of seeking love. This is so important. It's so important. Satan seeks to destroy every family. He seeks to destroy every family. Okay? If we don't put in forgiveness, which is some of the hardest things, it's not easy. But you put it there, it's very hard for Satan to topple the family. Okay? Tell us to read, we need the Bible as the rule in our family. Husbands, we are the high priest. We need to study the word, not just read it, study it and practice it. So that we can teach our wives, we teach our children. And if our children have any questions, we can ask you. If not, there are people around that can help as well. Okay? You're not expected to be Bible scholars, but you are expected to say, I don't know the answer, but tell you what, I'm going to find. And then I'll explain to you. Okay? Cinnamon, being upright, we need to put in habits of righteousness. Some families are so relaxed about the spiritual. Like, never mind, don't go to church, never mind, or whatever. No. The moment you do that, your children will take the same thinking, and they will think it's not important. I can tell you, children can have PhDs, but if you don't walk with God, their life is going to be wasted as well. All right? Not, won't be useful for God. We need to have prayer in the family, and when suffering comes in, we need to have patience in our trials. Okay, any questions as we close? There's one thing that you need to read. Let's turn to Song of Solomon as we close there. Song of Solomon, chapter 4, I believe. Let's go down. Verse 16. Let's read together. Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 16. Of all the things that we have, who is that? No. That's not in the message. Focus. Okay, let's read. Psalms chapter 4, verse 16. Ready? 1, 2, go. Awake, O north wind, and come, thou south. Blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits. Awake, O north wind, and come, thou south. Blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. When you have all these spices in your family, salvation, genuine faithfulness, forgiveness, the Bible, habits of righteousness, prayer, and patient sufferings, what does wind remind you of? What does wind in the Bible remind you of? A mighty rushing wind. The Holy Spirit. We can do our best humanly, but we need the Holy Spirit to blow over our family as well, to let him take charge. The Bible says we are to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Simply means we are to obey God at everything that he does. When we are filled with the Holy Spirit, our attitudes, our spirit will be one of, Lord, you said so, I'll forgive. You said so, I'll take my Bible as my standard in my life. You said so, Lord, I'll just be patient in my suffering. When the Holy Spirit takes control, the Holy Spirit needs to be part and parcel of our life. He has to be. He's an invisible member of the Trinity. Rather, he's a third silent member of the Trinity. But he is the one who promotes all these things in our lives. And at the end of the day, he gives glory to Christ as we serve Christ. Okay? Any questions? Let's pray. Lord, I pray that these seven things will be so real in our lives. We talked about, I'm glad, Lord, we can have fun and just understanding what you want us to put in our lives. Father, I pray for every family represented here. The Lord, these furnishings, Lord, we will, by your grace, push into the framework of our house so that we can be more and more like you. Our family can be a pleasant place to live in, but more than anything, in the times of wind and trials, you will be able to stand the test. We'll thank you for what you're going to do, Lord. We pray for every child also, Lord, put this in their lives, that they will cooperate with mom and dad, that we'll be able to work hard in order to make the family strong, to honor you, to be a light and a refuge perhaps for non-believers. When they see the love that is in our families, they will be able to be attracted. I pray for one, Lord, who may be struggling in their hearts about certain areas, certain furnitures they are finding hard to push into their lives. Forgiveness, perhaps, prayer, perhaps, because of tiredness. I pray, dear Lord, that you would give us the resolve, and we will be resolved to push this furniture in our houses so that our house can be pleasant. We'll thank you for what you're going to do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.